If I really want to be wise, I'm going to ask myself the question, how do I become a wise person? Then I'm going to go about it in a way. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to study. I'm going to seek. I'm going to look. I'm going to do what I know to do in order to find wisdom. And what these steps are, these steps all follow that first one. If I really and truly want to be a wise person, there's certain things I can do to become wise. And so what he's saying here, first of all, we begin with what? I have determination in my heart to seek wisdom. You think about all the wrong decisions that all of us have made in life. Think about the times when we have genuinely needed to know the mind of God. We needed to see things the way He sees them. If we could see things the way He sees them, then we would make different decisions. And so a wise person is able to see things from God's perspective and therefore to respond correctly. So step number one is to seek wisdom. Step number two, meditate upon God's Word. If I want to be a wise person, I must meditate upon God's Word. Now listen to what he says. Let's begin with chapter 2 again and verse 1. He says, "My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you." Whatever we treasure means we place high value on it. If we treasure something, we're going to take care of it. If we treasure something, we have a deep yearning desire not only for it, we want to protect it. We want to guard it. He says, "My son, if you will receive my sayings, treasure my commandments within you." Look in chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments." Look, if you will, in chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those who find them, health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Listen to that. He says the Word of God can contribute to good health. That's what he says. He says they're life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Somebody says, "Well, reading the Bible is not going to make you healthy." If we had time, I could give you a bunch of illustrations. But for example, when a person is depressed, when they are anxious, when they are worried, when they are fretting, when they are greedy, you can just go right down the line. A person's godly attitude certainly will affect their body because all those attitudes affect the human body physiologically. And so when he says, when you and I give attention to his word, incline our ear to it, don't let it depart, keep them in the midst of your heart. It's always the life to those who found them, health to their body. Watch over your heart with diligence, from it flows the springs of life. If we want to be wise persons, we, for example, are going to meditate upon God's Word. There are enough health principles alone in the Scriptures that certainly would give us a lot of great information, knowledge, and wisdom about how to live a healthy life. Because this book is full of God's wisdom. God knows everything that can possibly be known and much more than there is, of course, in human understanding. He is infinite in His wisdom, which means that all wisdom, all knowledge, God has perfect understanding of it. Now, where am I going to get my wisdom? If you think about, for example, just think about how often in a given day you and I are bombarded with the world's viewpoint. In the newspaper, you get the world's viewpoint. Television, you get the world's viewpoint. Friends get the world's viewpoint. Enemies get the world's viewpoint. You get the world's viewpoint coming and going here and yonder. Where do you get God's viewpoint? Because think about this. You can't think of a question. You can't think of a decision, a circumstance in your life for which God's Word is absolutely silent. Now, listen carefully what I mean by that. You may be able to come up with a given instance and a particular circumstance that the Bible has not named that circumstance or that instance, but the principle about how you and I to respond to something like that is in the Word of God. He has not left us void of any understanding anywhere. So if wisdom is understanding things from God's viewpoint, where do I get God's viewpoint? Not from my friends, unless they're getting it from the source of all God's viewpoints, which is right here, and that is the Word of God. And so from every circumstance of life, no matter what it may be, if I want to see God's viewpoint, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in the Word of God and say, "All right, God, what did you say about that? How am I to respond?" And you and I know that we have all been in situations and circumstances that we did not respond in the wisest fashion. Why? Because we either did not know a biblical principle or we violated a principle, for example, that we knew. Let's say, here's one simple one. You go to work tomorrow morning and somebody just absolutely, I mean, they tear you apart. They don't like you. They've been wanting to tell you this a long time and it's 9 o'clock in the morning. They let you have it. Now, what's the world's viewpoint? You load and I'll tell you what I'm. That's the way the world thinks of it. I'll get you back. What's God's viewpoint? Here's God's viewpoint. Is there anything else? Anything else you want to say? Thank you very much for telling me how you feel. Appreciate that. You see,